Giraud, who considered himself the military governor of Paris, had forbidden Leclerc and his division to take part in General de Gaulle's procession from the Arc de Triomphe to Notre Dame. He had told him instead to continue on present mission of clearing Paris and environs of enemy. Leclerc had ignored Giraud throughout the liberation of the capital, but that morning he had sent part of his division north, out of the city, against German positions around Saint-Denis. The streets of Paris were empty because the retreating Germans had seized almost every vehicle that could move. Even the metro was unpredictable because of the feeble power supply. In fact, the so-called City of Light was reduced to candles bought on the black market. Its beautiful buildings looked faded and tired, although they were mercifully intact. Hitler's order to reduce it to a field of rubble had not been followed. In the immediate aftermath of joy, groups in the street still cheered every time they caught sight of an American soldier or vehicle. Yet it would not be long before the Parisians started muttering, "Pire que le Boche," worse than the Boche. Despite Eisenhower's remark about going to Paris without any fuss, their visit had a definite purpose. They went to meet General Charles de Gaulle, the leader of the French Provisional Government, which President Roosevelt refused to recognize. Eisenhower, a pragmatist, was prepared to ignore his president's firm instruction that United States forces in France were not there to install General de Gaulle in power. The Supreme Commander needed stability behind his front lines, and since de Gaulle was the only man likely to provide it, he was willing to support him. Neither de Gaulle nor Eisenhower wanted the dangerous chaos of liberation to get out of hand, especially at a time of frenzied rumors, sudden panics, conspiracy theories, and the ugly denunciations of alleged collaborators. Together with a comrade, the writer J.D. Salinger, a counterintelligence corps staff sergeant with the 4th Infantry Division, had arrested a suspect in an action close to the Hôtel de Ville, only for the crowd to drag him away and beat him to death in front of their eyes. De Gaulle's triumphal procession the day before, from the Arc de Triomphe to Notre Dame, had ended in wild fusillades within the cathedral itself. This incident convinced de Gaulle that he must disarm the resistance and conscript its members into a regular French army. A request for 15,000 uniforms was passed that very afternoon to Scheif, the Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force. Unfortunately, there were not enough small sizes, because the average French male was distinctly shorter than his American contemporary. De Gaulle's meeting with the two American generals took place in the Ministry of War in the Rue Saint-Dominique. This was where his short-lived ministerial career had begun in the tragic summer of 1940, and he had returned there to emphasize the impression of continuity. His formula for erasing the shame of the Vichy regime was a majestically simple one. "The Republic has never ceased to exist." De Gaulle wanted Eisenhower to keep Leclerc's division in Paris to ensure law and order, but since some of Leclerc's units had now started to move out, he suggested that perhaps the Americans could impress the population with a show of force to reassure them that the Germans would not be coming back. Why not march a whole division, or even two, through Paris on its way to the front? Eisenhower, thinking it slightly ironic that de Gaulle should be asking for American troops to establish his position firmly, turned to Bradley and asked what he thought. Bradley said that it would be perfectly possible to arrange within the next couple of days. So Eisenhower invited de Gaulle to take the salute, accompanied by General Bradley. He himself would stay away. On their return to Chartres, Eisenhower invited General Sir Bernard Montgomery to join de Gaulle and Bradley for the parade, but he refused to come to Paris. Such a small but pertinent detail did not deter certain British newspapers from accusing the Americans of trying to hog all the glory for themselves. Inter-Allied relations were to be severely damaged by the compulsion in Fleet Street to see almost every decision by Scheif as a slight to Montgomery and thus the British. This reflected the more widespread resentment that Britain was being sidelined. The Americans were now running the show and would claim the victory for themselves. Eisenhower's British deputy, Air Chief Marshal Sir Arthur Tedder, was alarmed by the prejudice of the English press. "From what I heard at Scheif, I